me give it to you in brief. There's a summary here that's marked by me. My mother called me today. She says, "Gene, you don't believe that. Of all the things you've read, I said to Ted, he doesn't really believe that, does he?" Do you know what a dielectric is? It's a material which has the unique ability of absorbing electrical energy or charge without ordinarily passing this energy on to neighboring materials. Now, one of the theories of UFOs, flying saucers, is that they've mastered this ability to absorb energy and release it at a controlled basis. To get into this heavily involves using terms, drawing upon knowledge. I think I'm getting close. That'll make it so heavy I'll lose my crowd. I don't want to do that. You're very smart, but there's a limit to what we can do in an hour. Makes me so angry to mark something in my book and not be able to find it. We're not going to be able to do this tonight because I've lost it. Do you believe I'll find it? You got more faith than I got. And when I go through it twice and don't find it, I begin to think I won't find it. Must not be the will of the Lord. Let's just go back to rag dolls and I was marking so many things in this book as I went through it today, and I said, now I've got to find a way to do this in a simple way. And I'd marked so many places. I'll bet I left this one, the most important one, unmarked so I could find it and distinguish it from the places I'd marked. Did you ever do that? You take something that you know you can't lose, and you put it by itself somewhere where you protect yourself against losing it. Then you forget where you put it. I found it. Dr. Jessup. Dear old brother Jessup. UFO expert. Scientist, archaeologist, astronomer, having written on UFOs, begins to receive a series of mysterious letters from one Carlos Miguel Allende. Later is changed to Carl M. Allen. In these letters, he is receiving reactions, apparently, from a man that resents the fact that Dr. Jessup, through his study of Einstein's theory, is trying to motivate people in lectures to get their legislators to pass a law and fund further experiments in Einstein's unified field theory. He writes the letters to discourage him, but also to tell him, hey, you're too late. It's already been done with terrible results. So don't open it up again. Jessup doesn't pay that much attention to it. He has other things in mind. He wants to go to Mexico where he's studying some strange craters and some archaeology. But the Navy, July or August 1955, in a manila envelope addressed to Admiral N. Firth, Chief, Office of Naval Research, Washington, D.C., particularly to the attention of one Darrell L. Ritter, as it was passed around, with Happy Easter on it, came a copy of Dr. Jessup's book, The Case for the UFO. But annotated on the book that was written about UFOs by Dr. Jessup, heavy handwritten annotations and underlinings of a most perplexing sort written in at least three different colors of ink. Annotations which seemed to imply that the writer of them possessed intimate knowledge of UFOs, their means of propulsion, origin, background, and history. The book itself was well worn. Whoever was responsible for this work had apparently spent a great amount of time doing it. They contacted Jessup. He was able to identify by keys in the annotations that were in the book that the one who sent the book with the annotations revealing so much knowledge about these things was none other than Carlos Allende, or Carl Allen. Now, the gist of Carlos Allende's posture has been stated. He claimed to be an eyewitness on a merchant marine ship while in the Navy of the events surrounding the Philadelphia experiment. He claimed to have watched the ship suddenly be enveloped with a kind of a green fog, the ship disappeared, and all you could see was the markings of the hull of the ship in the water. In his letters that he had sent to Dr. Jessup, he warned against further experimentation and motivating people to go into it. The Navy contacted Jessup. Jessup becomes very involved in researching this event, dies under a very strange circumstance. Some even have suggested he was murdered, as he, disbelieving what the fellow wrote him, continued to pursue it. The last person, or one of the last that he contacted, was none other than Dr. Valentine, the finder of those walls and roads under the water in the Bermuda Triangle, the anthropologist and diver and archaeologist that uncovered what Edgar Cayce had prophesied, remnants of Atlantis near Bimini. Now, these connections always amuse me. The co-author of this book, William H. Moore and Charles Berlitz, set out, and the analogy is like David Davison, who went to the pyramid to prove there was no prophetic message in it, ends up writing the most convincing proofs of it ever to appear in print. This guy's like Frank Morrison, who set out to take the myth out of the story of Christ and prove that the story could stand on its own feet without the supernatural claims, particularly the resurrection. Ended up writing. See how that hangs right on the edge of a ring? Is there anything you can do up there with knobs? You want to go try? Frank Morrison wrote, "Who Moved the Stone?" Probably he was an attorney who set out to disprove the resurrection, ended up writing the most convincing proof of the resurrection that I've read anywhere, in the book entitled, "Who Moved the Stone?" When you read this book, I'm a skeptic. This can't happen. They set out to disprove the elements of the story. But everywhere they turn, they find elements and or evidences that suck them more toward belief than disbelief. Now, the essence of the story is told by this Carlos. They, for example, many people have written on it, but nobody could find this guy, Carlos. They found him. There's a picture of him in this book. And at the time the book was written, he was still living in central Mexico, ironically in the area of the craters that Dr. Jessup was investigating. He mentions a person in the book. He gives him a name. I think it's Randolph Reno. He had no way of knowing this guy, Allende. He mentions it in his letters, that the scientist he was speaking of had adopted an alias based upon a road sign, Randolph so many miles and Reno so many miles, near his residence. But the Carl Allen, who wrote the letters in this book to Dr. Jessup that started the story rolling, had no way of knowing that this scientist had a pseudonym or an alias. They trace him down, find him living in isolation like a hermit, full of fear, as though the analogy I feel is like those government witnesses that are given new names and settled somewhere. And he tells the story of the experiments. They search it out. They then find some other witnesses. But this is the story. I mean, you get done, you have to say, wait a minute, this couldn't happen. According to Carlos, the original letter writer, who claimed to be a witness on the merchant ship, Dr. Albert Einstein's unified field theory was in fact completed in 1925 to 27. But Dr. Einstein, by the way, the most devastating criticism of the Philadelphia experiment is based upon a critic who wrote and drew his arguments from a confession by Carlos Miguel Allende to a psychic group. A research group, not a funny group, in Arizona, where he went and said it was all a hoax. But he later recanted that, and the reason he did was because he was paranoid about further revelations of the subject and further pursuit of the subject and further research into the subject. So he wanted to put a stop to it. And admits he wanted to put a stop to it by trying, when he couldn't get through his letters to get it stopped originally, by trying to say it was all a hoax from the beginning. Subsequent facts destroyed the major argument against this being true. So now here are the facts. Here are the facts Carlos gave. Einstein's unified field theory was in fact completed in 1925-27, but Dr. Einstein withdrew it because he was allegedly horrified by the possible uses it might be put to by mankind not yet ready for it. This, according to Allende, could be confirmed by Dr. B. Russell. Now, that could be none other than Lord Bertrand Russell. So the first ingredient of his story to be researched is, what are the connections between Bertrand Russell and Einstein? And they check out. They were equal pacifists until the Nazi terror drove Einstein to his decision. Come on back where you were. Two, during World War II, second item, the concepts of the unified field theory were tested by the Navy with a view to any and every possible quick use of it, if feasible, in a very short time. Someone called Dr. Franklin Reno, a man Allende referred to as my friend, allegedly had something to do with producing results at this stage of the game. Back where you were. Turn the lights out. I want this to get scary again. This letter writer is strange, reticent, paranoid little man, scared to death by this experiment that nobody could find until these researchers found him, who wanted to stop any further discussion of it, who adopted Einstein's original position, deep six it, friend, bury it, had no way of knowing that Franklin Reno was not the name of the scientist, but rather a pseudonym that he had adopted because of a desire to conceal his identity. And these researchers were able to ferret that out by going eventually and uncovering the fact he had taken his name from that road sign, as I said. A Franklin Reno had to be found. He was found in this book, his true name determined, and under some duress, he told his story, which is one of the strangest stories in this book. Three, the results thus produced that Franklin Reno helped in, and it's too cold. I'll get this house together if I keep working at it. The results thus produced were used to achieve, listen, this is why I don't believe it, complete invisibility of a ship, destroyer type, and all of its crew, while at sea, October 1943. By means of some sort of energy or force field which had been created around the ship. The men on the ship were apparently able to see one another vaguely, but all that could be seen by anyone outside the field was the clearly defined shape of the ship's hull in the water. The effects of this invisibility creating force field upon the men involved were, according to Allende, disastrous. I am still on a Philadelphia experiment. Most unbelievable story. I don't believe it. And this is the summary of the stories that unfolded. Dr. Einstein's theory, unified field theory, worked out in the mid-20s, was suppressed by him because he didn't think man was ready to use it. The Hitler situation finally brought the tragic choice of letting his theories be developed, which produced the atomic and now nuclear threat to the world. But the unified field theory that everybody thought had been suppressed, a series of letters to Dr. Jessup indicated, and particularly under a certain Dr. Franklin Reno, the Navy had experimented with them with astounding results. The claim is, I don't believe this, the results thus produced were used to achieve, now I want to ask you a question. If we hadn't covered some of the things we've already covered, do you realize how hard it would be to even listen to this? The results thus produced were used to achieve complete invisibility of a ship. destroyer type. You know how hard it was for the ordinary world in Jesus' day to believe he rose? Now, we're all preset for these things. Let me keep going. The results thus produced were used to achieve complete invisibility of a ship, destroyer type, and all of its crew while at sea, October 1943, by means of some sort of energy or force field which had been created around the ship. The men on the ship were apparently able to see one another vaguely, but all that could be seen by anyone outside of the field was the clearly defined shape of the ship's hull in the water. The effects of this invisibility-creating force field upon the men involved, according to Allende, were disastrous. The experiment, he says, was a complete success, but the men were complete failures. There was a special berth for the experimental ship at the Philadelphia Navy Yard. 5. A small item once appeared in the Philadelphia newspaper which verified the tale. This supposedly described the sailors' activities after their initial voyage when they raided a local bar, allegedly the seaman's lounge, and where they presumably were either still exhibiting the effects of the field or proceeded to discuss the experiment in such graphic terms that it terrified the waitresses. One is left to assume that the shore patrol was called and that some reporter picked up the story and wrote it up without quite believing it himself. 6. Allende himself claims to have observed at least portions of this experiment while at sea on board the Liberty ship SS Andrew Puriseth, a Matson Lines ship out of Norfolk, Virginia. This was sometime in October 1943. According to Allende, other men who were on deck at the time and witnessed the tests were Chief Mate Mousley, Richard Splicey Price, an 18 or 19-year-old sailor from Roanoke, Virginia, and a man named Connolly from New England, possibly Boston. 7. Rear Admiral Rawson Bennett, Navy Chief of Research, could supposedly verify that the experiment had in fact occurred. 8. The experimental ship also somehow mysteriously disappeared from its Philadelphia dock, showed up only minutes later in Norfolk. It then subsequently vanished only to appear again at its Philadelphia dock. Total elapsed time for this, matter of minutes. I don't believe it. Allende says he only heard about this phase of it and that this may have been as late as 1946 after the experiments were discontinued. Finally, in addition to his then current address, Allende supplies Jessup with following data about himself, his presumed merchant sailor's Z number, the fact that he served on the SS Andrew Puriseth for some 6 months, on and on. Now, this book researches all this. They start out to confirm, number one, that the ship, the particular ship, Andrew Puriseth, that he was sailing on, in fact, was in the territory from ship logs and other such records at the dates that he says. They also are able to determine the particular ship that was the one docked in Philadelphia that's supposed to have disappeared. This is a picture of it from the National Archives. The USS Eldridge, DE-173. This is a picture of it on September 12, 1943. Second, they had to determine from this guy's mysterious letter, not only was the ship, the merchant ship that he was on in the area at the time, but it had to be in a place, well, second, this USS Eldridge had to be there at the time, and they had to be in a place where they could be sailing side by side. Because Carl, the letter writer, claimed to have seen this invisible happening, transformation, as they were at sea, and he claims to have heard of the happening while it was docked, where it went from Philadelphia to Norfolk and back to Philadelphia. Got it? Now, you can do some research. I don't believe the story. But at least the story has more credibility. It's easy to blow the story if one of the ships is in Casablanca for all the months that he claims these happenings occurred. You can read the book. They researched it. And they checked. And they went to the records. Hold your hat. Got a ring. I need Joe back down here. Got a terrible ring on my mic. I think it's a demon that's attacking us. Can I go slow on this? You know, I got to do a little heavy stuff as well as the interesting stuff. Here we go. If Allende's tale is true, if indeed the DE-173 did become invisible, and if the experiment was witnessed from the deck of the SS Andrew Furuseth, perhaps one of the best ways to try to learn more about it is to check out the available government archives on the ships involved. Were they in the area at the time? They put in a request for the logbooks of the two ships in question. I skipped a lot of preliminary research where they went to the docks, where they were made. They traced them. They located the ships. Now they go to the official government archives so they can get logs and records so they can place these ships in the right places. The result of such a request was the surprising discovery that, one, the deck logs of the Eldridge for the period from date of commission, August 27, 1943 through December 1, 1943, were missing and therefore unavailable. And two, turn down a little, the logbooks of the Furuseth had been destroyed by executive order and thus no longer existed. Since the only period of time in the history of these two ships which is of any interest to this investigation is the time during which Allende served aboard the SS Furuseth, that is August 1343 through a January 30, 1944, they're wiped out from those records. Well, they didn't stop. They begin to search. What blew them apart was that the ship Eldridge was commissioned some 30 days after these events, so-called events, took place. Aha, the whole story's a lie.